As we open up our scripture this morning, again, we will be reading through the Gospel of Luke, beginning at chapter 10, and we'll read verses 25 through 37. And again, I believe this may be a scripture that we're all familiar with. We've probably heard it on more than one occasion, but we'll hear it again this morning. Again, from chapter 10 of Luke, verses 25 through 37. And this is what is written there. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" And he answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of God for the people of God. So our theme for this morning is restoring life. Restoring life. Have you ever wanted to perform a miracle? And you know what I mean. Have you ever wanted to take a situation that seemed hopeless, perhaps someone's life situation, their health situation, their emotional situation, perhaps a spiritual situation? Have you ever wanted to work a miracle so that someone's life would truly be changed because you were able to do something powerful enough to make it happen? I think we've all been in that position, not that we've done it, but we've all been in the position where we've wanted to. As Buffalo Bills safety Damar Hamlin lay collapsed on the football field a few weeks ago, I'm certain that fans and coaches and players, even people sitting at home watching the game, wish they could have done something to help him. EMTs and doctors charged on the field, hoping to restore his life. We've all perhaps been in a place where we could perform a miracle or two, inspired by books and movies and true life stories. I think sometimes we hear those stories and wish that we were the ones making the difference. Well, if we want to know the truth about it, performing a miracle isn't really all that difficult. It happens the moment we take an opportunity to restore someone's life, to restore a person's dignity or character or self-worth isn't really all that hard. And according to Jesus, it's as easy as treating someone in need as if they were your neighbor. This month in the life of our church, there was a day that we celebrated called Human Relations Day, a day in which we're supposed to lift up and recognize the importance that God has placed on human life, human value, especially human relationships between people. It's probably not an accident that we celebrate Human Relations Day at or about the same time that we celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. In some ways, they are related. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was one of the great humanitarians of our time. But before there was a Martin Luther King Jr., there was a God who stressed the importance of human relationships and told us a number of times in a lot of different ways how we should relate to one another as humans. We've been told that we should treat others as we would have them treat us. We've been given a new law and commandment by Jesus himself that says we should love one another just as he loved us. And so the idea of Human Relations Day is more poignantly addressed as God invites us to make every day Human Relations Day. Regrettably, we're still working that out on human, emotional, cultural, personal, and spiritual levels. Levels that justify hearing and reviewing this story by Jesus just one more time. This is not a new story. There may be persons who have no relationship with the church at all who have heard the story of the Good Samaritan. I would even go so far as to say that we've heard the story enough times that there aren't any surprises that are entirely new to us. The story is easy enough to remember. There's a person, at least in the Gospel of Luke, who's a religious scholar, and he comes to test Jesus. And we all know the apparent dangers that exist when you try to put Jesus on the spot. The lawyer asked Jesus a simple question, not about the law, but about inheriting eternal life. It seems that living forever is not a contemporary concept, but for this religious scholar and Jesus, eternal life and the law are two sides of the same coin. But after Jesus answers the lawyer's question, the lawyer wants to justify himself. He wants to prove that not only he knows the law, but that he is living the law by doing everything the law says do. But just to be clear that he and Jesus are on the same page about this neighbor business, he asked Jesus a question to prove to himself and God and the whole community of religious scholars that he's right about everything. So he asked Jesus, and just how would you define neighbor? And the question leads Jesus into a story where the hero of the story is not a member of the status quo. The hero is a person who is disliked and disrespected. The hero is a person whom this perfect human specimen can't bring himself to accept as another child of God, let alone a neighbor. Jesus points to a rather nondescript person who is lying in the middle of the road, half dead. And for this legal scholar, it would be expected that whoever the hero was would be someone like him. And yet in the story, all of the people who are supposed to be religious, a priest and a Levite, walk by the man in the middle of the road, avoiding him as if he had the plague. And then finally, a Samaritan someone who is despised by the legal scholar, because as you know, according to some scriptures, the Jews have nothing to do with the Samaritans. This Samaritan stops. He stops for this person whose life has been ignored by the institutions and leaders of the church. He stops for this person who doesn't claim an abiding faith in God. He stops for this person whose life has been considered all of nothing by those who would rob him. This Samaritan stops for this man lying in the middle of the road, even though by doing so, he might be putting his own life at risk. This Samaritan stops. And for the man lying in the middle of the road, the hope of having a restored life is renewed. The Samaritan stops to offer the man lying in the middle of the road a miracle of mercy and caring. He stops to restore life to someone who, according to the story, all of the good people were ready to ignore. And then Jesus asks the religious scholar a simple question and gives some simple advice. He offers this religious scholar a solution and provides him an opportunity to perform a miracle with his own life. He asked, which of the three became a neighbor to the man lying in the middle of the road? Which of the three? And this scholar, unable to even make his lips form the word Samaritan, got the same answer that Jesus would give to us today. He said, go and do likewise. And while that ends the story, it doesn't end the limitless opportunities that speak to us in this time, nor does it throw light on those who seem to be lying half dead in the middle of our roads today, or those who seem willing to walk by on the other side in an effort to avoid them. You see, friends, if we keep our eyes open, we will see that there are people lying dead in the middle of our streets, half dead, and some ways we walk by them all the time. In some ways, a part of our walking by them is born of a cultural fear of getting too involved. Where we're concerned, our name is Wes, and we don't want to be in that mess. But when someone else's life is in danger, when someone's dignity has been destroyed by neglect, when someone's character has been insulted because of their conditions, the fear of engagement is not a life-restoring property. There are women lying in the road half dead from domestic violence, while we sometimes stand on religious dignity and ignore the problem because it's not safe. And yet the opportunity is there for the church to be in ministry to them in ways that restores their dignity and affirms their character and offers them hope and life. There are single parents. Parents who are going through divorce or having been through divorce, who are lying in the middle of life's road, half dead, hurting and bleeding from a relationship that went bad, and the church has an opportunity to be in ministry with them, to offer the healing balm that restores their life. There are people in recovery from drugs and alcohol, children and adults in need of mentors, senior citizens who are lonely. Not only that, there are young teens who are being bullied. There is no end to those who are lying half dead in the middle of life's road, whom Jesus invites us to go to and be a neighbor to them. Or did we miss the part where Jesus said, go? He said, go. You see, brothers and sisters, a huge part of the opportunity in restoring a person's life is the part where Jesus says, go. We aren't called to live passively serving God in Christ as if the world is going to restore itself. If we look at it, it's up to those who are healthy to meet those who are sick where they are. We can't expect those who are half dead to drag themselves to the places where they can be cared for. We shouldn't expect those who are half dead in the middle of life's road to find a place or someone who is willing to restore their life. The responsibility is on us to go. And yet we, perhaps like the religious scholar, are willing to justify ourselves by what we do or what we think we do, rather than extending ourselves outside of our comfort zone. Perhaps we too are guilty of standing on our own religious self-righteousness rather than going to meet and minister to those who are half dead in our neighborhoods. We may be walking by people every day whose lives are bleeding away while we seek to avoid them because we don't want to get involved, or we're afraid of being misunderstood, or perhaps just afraid of getting our own hands dirty. But that's why Jesus used the Samaritan as the hero in his story. You see, brothers and sisters, it's not enough to be careful and safe. Jesus invites us, even challenges us, to get involved and risk taking mission opportunities where we can go among those who don't look like us, who don't live like us, and may not even like us, who are in fact different from us, those who may not even associate with us, not because we need them, but because they need us. Jesus invites us to look at those whom we don't ordinarily associate with and treat them as our neighbors. And so we should go. We should go. Go beyond the walls of our church, breaking down cultural and religious and social norms to restore the lives of those who are lying in the middle of life's road, half dead. They're easy to find. They are those who are hurting. They are those whose lives have been devalued. They are those who have been neglected. They are those who have been ignored. They are the ones we like to come to, but to whom we have neglected. So let's go. Let's go and be a neighbor to those whom we would rather avoid because they're different from us, because they don't believe what we believe. Let's use our many resources, just as the Samaritan did, to restore life to those for whom life is quickly fading away. And let's offer them mercy. Let's offer them the love of Christ. Let's offer them a faith that says, we believe in a God who says that you're a human being, you have value, you have dignity, and you have worth. Your life is worth something, and you can be restored. Let's go because God has called us to be living examples of Christ's love, active in service to our community. Let's go and move to encounter those in the middle of life's road so that we can offer them the same power of restoration that Christ offers us. Remember, at one time, it was we who were laying in the middle of life's road, and God looked upon us and had mercy, and came to us, and restored our lives. It can only happen if and when we go, and as Jesus said, do the same thing. And that is the word of God today for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.